Now on Documentary on News Talk, producer and presenter Maggie Scully hears the story of two Northern Ireland sisters from a Methodist family who joined the Hare Krishna movement in Peace and Love in a Time of Trouble.
So my name is Karuneshwari, and it's two words combined together. Karuna means compassion, and Ishwari means the controller of. So when you put the two names together, it becomes Karuneshwari, which means the servant of the Queen of Compassion, which is a name for the female counterpart of Krishna. We understand that the Supreme is both male and female.
So what was your name before?
Karen Smith. And I hated that name completely because they were both the first name and the surname were about as common as you could get. There was about five Karens in my class in school, and Smiths seemed to be everywhere in Northern Ireland and England. And I thought you couldn't get a more ordinary, common name than that. I loved my new name, Karuneshwari. I still love it. People call me Karuna for short, which I also like. But I love Karuneshwari. And when I get called Karen now, it feels like they're talking about someone else. I think I was about 21, nearly 22 when I joined. So my first time that I ever heard the Hare Krishnas mentioned, I was in school. I was about 14, and one of my group of friends mentioned them over lunch one day. I'd never heard of them, and she said to the group, "I heard those Hare Krishnas have just bought an island in Fermanagh. How would they get the money to do that if they're all meant to be monks?" I hadn't a clue what she was talking about or who she was talking about. Everybody else seemed to know about them, and I kept quiet because I felt very ill-informed. But I thought it was interesting that these monks had purchased an island. She thought it was outrageous.
That school was in Bangor, County Down. It was the 1980s when Northern Ireland was in the midst of the Troubles.
Scientists have begun the job of sifting through the debris, looking for remains of the bomb. It appears to have been a very powerful device. The scale of the damage suggests it was very close to the building, if not actually inside.
The effect the Troubles had on me was to make me want to be part of something broad-minded. Not to be part of anything that accepted only certain sections of society, certain segments.
Raised in the Methodist faith, Karuna had become disillusioned with Sunday school and, like many teenagers, turned to music.
But for me, I was looking for something non-violent. I was looking for something non-sectarian and something that answered deeper questions that were relevant right across the board. And when I came across Krishna consciousness, although you could say, well, that's just another sectarian religion, the underlying philosophy is that anyone who's developing their spiritual life in any way, in their own capacity, in their own tradition, is all on the same path. And this way offers a very concrete set of processes for doing that. And I find that the most detailed and the most evolved I'd experienced. But at the same time, the message was that you could be a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or anything. The main thing is to increase your devotion, develop your inner life, focus more on your spiritual goals and your material goals. It was a science. It's a scientific process that if you do certain things, you get certain results. And so it can be applicable in any tradition.
It Influenced by Morrissey, a boyfriend, and a cute little lamb, Karuna became vegetarian.
My sister's 5 years younger than me, and when I came home at 19, I was living away from home then, when I came home at weekends, I started to influence my sister, and my mum was really annoyed with me. She was saying, okay, it's one thing if you want to go this route, but don't be influencing your younger sister. She doesn't have the same understanding about, you know, nutrition and what's required to give up eating meat. But my sister is very determined.
Sukada, or Suzanne as she was named at the time, was on her own quest to understand life.
I would always say I was an atheist, but I knew there was a God. But I just thought, this religion doesn't make sense to me. I stopped going to Sunday school. And then I became vegetarian when I was 15. And then I met the Hare Krishna when I was 19. And then that's when everything started to click into place.
The Smiths' first introduction to their daughter's newfound faith was when Karuna married Gopagan at the Hindu temple in Belfast.
There's a lot of people attending, all dressed very brightly. I was dressed up by some Indian ladies in a way that I wasn't even sure if I was happy with, but I just went along with it because they seemed to know what they were doing. Henna on my hands. Some of it was beautiful, but one lady made a mess. So one hand was beautiful, one hand was smudged. My hair was done. I had very elaborate jewellery, a very elaborate silk red sari. I had no idea. I mean, it was a surprise for me what the day was like, but it was a shock for my mum. She had to leave at one point and go and get some air. I think she found the whole thing quite overwhelming.
The following year, Karuna gave birth to her daughter.
My mum didn't want to tell any of her workmates. She was mortified when I called my daughter Akadashi because she'd have to tell all of her colleagues what an unusual name her daughter had given to her child. And of course, when she did go in and they asked, well, what's the baby girl called? She said Akadashi, and she was so nervous about it. Her resounding response was, oh, that's beautiful.
After a few years, their father died, and both sisters moved to raise their own families among the Hare Krishna community at Inishrath, the island in Fermanagh that the schoolgirls were talking about a decade earlier.
A friend of mine who was in the Hare Krishna community in Wicklow made a joking comment one day, which I've thought of many times over the years. She said, it's not like as a young person who joins the Hare Krishna movement, you go home to your parents and they say, oh, that's wonderful. That's just what I always hoped you'd do. You just don't get that response.
Akadashi went to school along with other children from the temple community.
Yeah, we went to a Protestant primary school, a local primary school, and we were homeschooled a little bit before that, so we joined the primary school kind of midway through. It was a happy time at school and everything seemed fine. I don't remember any negativity or judgment, and made loads of friends some of them I'm still in touch with now, so it seemed, yeah, all fine. A friend of mine, Sita, who you met earlier, we both then went to the same secondary school, which was called Urn Integrated School, which was the only school in that area which was not one specific faith or religion. It was all just integrated, just any belief or any culture welcome. So we both went there along with her brother and a few other Hare Krishnas our age at that time. So it was a small group of us there. And yeah, again, that was fine. We never had any difficulties there.
You are listening to Peace and Love in a Time of Trouble, and I hope you can join us for the next 40 minutes or so on this journey from Christianity to Krishna in Northern Ireland.
So I think it's been very challenging for my mum that her only two children joined the Hare Krishna movement.
Yeah.
So my mum was from Belfast originally, and so was my dad, but we moved to Bangor when I was about 8. They wanted to live somewhere quieter, away from the troubles. And my mum took a job then as a legal secretary for solicitors who mostly dealt with conveyancing. And my dad was in and out of work. His health was never great. He suffered a lot from depression and anxiety. So the roles were reversed a bit. Back then, my mum was the breadwinner and my dad was often at home. And so he'd cook the meals. He wasn't great at housework, but he did his bit, looked after the dogs. He'd be the one home when my sister and I came home from school. And my mum worked most of her life. Methodist is a branch of the Protestant Christianity, but I never knew much about it growing up, other than it was what everyone in our family did. So my mum, her parents, my dad's parents, everyone was a Methodist.
Methodism is a branch of Christianity that began in the early 1700s and is based on the beliefs and teachings of John Wesley. Famous Methodists include Nelson Mandela, Hillary Clinton, Margaret Thatcher, and singer Beyoncé Knowles.
I had a feeling from when I was young that Christianity was something I should follow, but I didn't know how to follow it. I didn't like going to church and I didn't like going to Sunday school. I hated Sunday school because the teacher I had was, looking back now, I didn't know the words then, but I'd say she was the archetypal hypocrite. She was everything you wouldn't expect from a Christian Sunday school teacher. She would criticize the girls who weren't present behind their back. She would laugh at people who were poor, people who were poorly dressed, people whose family didn't have taste. And I was horrified. And I didn't even realize then that that was because I didn't expect that from someone Christian. I just didn't feel comfortable with it. And I used to wonder what she said about me when I wasn't there. And she reminded me of the Olsen family from the Little House on the Prairie, of the mother. And I used to say to my mum, I just don't like going to that lady. Music was what kept me going through my teens. I think that was part of the searching journey. I loved lyrics. I loved lyrics that had meaning. I loved all the indie bands of the 80s. But my main band that I followed was the Smiths. I loved the lyrics that Morrissey wrote about teenage angst. And of course, when I was 19, I became vegetarian. And I think Morrissey had more of an impact on that than I realised at the time. The album Meet His Murder, all of those lyrics. So I find a lot of comfort in the lyrics of those bands who were looking for something different as well. And I had a boyfriend when I was about 18, 19. He was vegetarian. His whole family were vegetarian, which was rare back then for a whole family, parents and everything. And one day we were going on a holiday. So everyone I was with, all of their social circle, they were all vegetarians, and we were in the car, and it was April time, and there was some lambs in the field. I just casually said to him, oh, look at the lambs, aren't they so cute? And he said to me, quick as a flash, taste nice too, don't they? And that was it. Something just went into my heart, and I thought, okay, I never actually clicked with that before. I'm an animal lover, but yet I eat them. But that was after 5 years of being around vegetarians, and it hadn't clicked. And I said to him that day, that's it, I'm not eating meat anymore. And he didn't believe me. But I didn't, I haven't had any since.
Oh,
And had you learned any more about the Hare Krishnas at that time?
One time in between, it was also in school and we were studying religious education, and a small part of our course was other religious traditions. And so there was a book of, it was covering smaller and modern day religions, and the Hare Krishnas got a brief mention in it. And I remember reading about them. They got up ridiculously early in the morning, in my opinion, and they followed lots of rules and restrictions. And I had a quick look at that and thought, there's no way that's for me, and put it out of my mind. And then it would have been probably in my 18th or 19th year, I met a Hare Krishna monk on the street in Corn Market in Belfast, and he was distributing books, as they're famous for doing. But by that stage, I had decided I didn't like the Hare Krishnas. I'd heard a few things about them. I thought they were a bit backward in their relationship to women, and I decided that I wasn't interested at all. But something about him drew me towards him, and I stopped, and he asked me, did I want to buy this book? And I had money in my pocket, but I pretended I didn't because I didn't want to buy it. And as he talked on, I thought he was very nice. And he said, look, I'll give you this book for free if you promise me that you'll read it and not just put it in the bin. And by then I was kind of interested, because he was, I'd love to know who he was, but he was interesting and he was very pleasant. So I took the book and I promised I'd read it. And I did. It took me about a year to get around to it. And I had it sitting on my bedside table for that year. So I saw it every day, looked at it, looked at the picture of Krishna on the cover without meaning to. And eventually it was on my to-do list. I had a list one day as a student of about 20 things to do. And one day I was determined to get to the bottom of them. And I came to that, and I read it dutifully, cover to cover, put it in the bin. I'd done my duty. But I had a lasting impression that what I'd read sounded reasonable.
And it's quite possible that the book in the bin had been published with funds from the Beatle, George Harrison. The Hare Krishnas were a relatively new spiritual organisation and had attracted an alternative following, like the hippies and the peace and love movement and those who went to Woodstock Music Festival.
I really wanna see you. So this society actually comes from an ancient tradition going back in India. But it first came to the West in this particular form in 1966, and it was actually founded in New York around then by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who was, of course, an Indian holy man.
Radha Mohan Das is Communications Secretary at the UK's main temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor, in Watford, north of London. I asked him if he knew how George Harrison met the Hare Krishnas.
He met some American Hare Krishna devotees at Apple Studios, actually at the opening. And one thing led to another, and he befriended these American Hare Krishna devotees. But of course, the founder of the Krishna movement, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he of course is the spiritual leader, an elderly Indian holy man. He impressed George immensely. And George helped the society in so many ways as a result, from helping with book publishing to, of course, recording two singles and an album. And I think very significantly, of course, donating Bhaktivedanta Manor. There's a certain aspect of our tradition which is very public, and therefore we're very well known for it. Of course, it's going out in the streets, usually in lines of two, clanging cymbals, banging drums and chanting Hare Krishna and singing Hare Krishna. And so forth, and perhaps giving out leaflets and sweets. In relatively a small aspect of many other things we do. We do education, we do college courses, meditation courses, and worship and festivals. However, particularly, I think, it remains a very traditional and important aspect of our way of life, if you like, because we believe in spreading the good news, as it were. We don't believe that this Hare Krishna mantra, for example, is to be kept just for ourselves, for our own spiritual benefit. Right from 15th century Bengal, where a particular tradition comes from, it was all about getting it out of the temples and into the streets, you know, and sharing the holy names for the spiritual benefit
of the entire human society, actually.
Having binned one Hare Krishna book, Karuna got another.
Yes, I got The Science of Self-Realization, which was a much bigger book. I'd found that in an ex-boyfriend's apartment, and I knew who it belonged to. It belonged to a friend of his who I knew had previously been a Hare Krishna but wasn't practicing at the moment. So I went and I found that person. I asked them, could I borrow the book? And they were more than happy to lend it to me, along with a few others. And I took them home to my parents' house in Bangor. At that time, I was having a bit of a crisis anyway. I was really lost for direction. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life, whereas all my friends seemed to have found their niche.
And were you finished college or university?
I had finished university, so it was time to move on, go into the next stage.
And which course did you finish?
I'd studied social anthropology and sociology, so there was no direct, it wasn't a vocational degree. I didn't know what to do afterwards, and I was looking for some kind of humanitarian work or work with animals, but nothing was showing up. And all my friends were either getting married or moving away or getting careers. And I was really on a quest to understand what direction to go in. I was reading a lot of books from the library looking for answers. I wasn't finding them. And I was getting a bit worried, actually. And then I came across this Science of Self-Realization. And as soon as I saw that book, I had a feeling in my heart and my stomach. Oh, I think I found something here. It was as if I was reading something that I'd already known before but forgotten. I'd never had that feeling in my life before. I was like, oh yes, of course, now it makes sense. And I just knew I had my answers. And it was a transformative day that day. I remember thinking, okay, now I feel that I'm never going to suffer as much as I've suffered before, because no matter what comes up, I have an understanding that I've never had before to guide me through.
As it turned out, Karuna gained more than an understanding. The man who gave her those books remained in her life also.
Yeah, so that man turned out to be my husband. So after borrowing those books, then we kept in touch, and then gradually over the months we would see each other from time to time, and then more regularly, and then after a year we decided to get engaged. So yeah, we got engaged when I was 24, so it was a little longer, and then we got married when I was 25. He was called Gopagan, still is Gopagan, and before initiation he was called Gerard Ryan. He came from a small place in Ashbourne, and he actually had a much harder time coming to Krishna consciousness than I did, in terms of family and community not understanding. All of Ashbourne were shocked that someone had joined the Hare Krishna movement.
You're listening to Peace and Love in a Time of Trouble on Documentary on News Talk.
And tell us about that wedding.
That was a very colourful event. I'd never been to what they call a Vedic marriage, a Vedic wedding ceremony. Vedic means coming from the ancient tradition of India. The essence of those kind of weddings is that there's a fire in the middle. Everyone sits around a fire, and the fire is for the element of sacrifice. So grains and fruits are thrown into the fire, along with some ghee or clarified butter. Prayers are recited for purification. Then the vows are taken. Then we circumambulate the fire. There's a lot of people attending, all dressed very brightly. I was dressed up by some Indian ladies in a way that I wasn't even sure if I was happy with, but I just went along with it because they seemed to know what they were doing. And I enjoyed the day.
And where did it take place?
So we got married in the Hindu Mandir, as they call it, the Hindu temple in Carlisle Circus in Belfast.
Did a lot of your friends and family go to that wedding?
So it was mostly Hare Krishna friends, devotee friends, apart from our direct family, my husband's mum and dad, and my mum and dad and my sister. And my sister then later became a devotee as well. It's a big shock for my parents. I don't think many people got to find out about it from my mum and dad because they were too embarrassed to tell anyone. So I think it was kept really between inner family members for a long time. When it came to the stage for the meal at the end of the day, the doors of the building were open to let out the smoke from the fire. And some punks who lived in the area that I recognised from my university days just happened to be passing, smelled the smells of the food and saw, oh, let's go in there and see if we can get something to eat. And they just came in, no one turned them away, and they ended up sitting opposite my parents. So the whole thing was a real culture shock for my mum. I don't think she knew what to make of it all.
After living in Wicklow for a few years, Gopagan and Karuna, along with their baby, moved to the Hare Krishna island near Derrylin in Fermanagh, only 20 miles from Enniskillen.
Shortly before 11 o'clock this morning, as the nation was about to draw together for its annual act of remembrance, a bomb exploded near the war memorial in Enniskillen, County Fermanagh.
At the height of the Troubles, property prices reached rock bottom, and a group of Hare Krishna monks, led by a German, purchased the island, which was perfect for the purposes of a spiritual centre. A temple was built in a wing of the Victorian mansion, which also provided accommodation for the community, which ranged in numbers from 100 to 200 over the years. Devotees rowed over in boats to the 22-acre island. Sukadu was there already and recalls that among the devotees from both sides of the Irish border...
We're not the only family that joined. There was the lady, the head Bajai on the island, Mahamantra, her and her brother joined, and he's Parshuram, and he's renowned for doing food for life in England. And then there would be... It was actually three brothers that joined, and one of them is still in Belfast, Nithai, and then there was Parpadas and there was Vishabhanu. So there was the three of them. Oh, and then Leo, actually, as well, actually. So there was actually the three of them, and then Leo and Arjuna. So there's quite a few families that have joined, actually. Quite a few. And then Mary and Emer. Mary was living in the temple when I was there.
Krishna devotees have four daily core practices.
Well, you chant 16 rounds every day, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and beads. We don't take any intoxication, which means no alcohol, no tea, no coffee. Then we don't gamble, and then no meeting of meat, fish or eggs. And then, illicit sex. Sex is only for procreation. So those are the four things we follow.
And they have a particular style of dress. Karuna recalls the guests at Sukadu's wedding on Inishrath.
Well, all the women would most likely have been in saris, and the men in the traditional Vaishnava dress, which is a kurta, which is the shirt, and a dhoti is what people often fail to understand what it is. It's a cotton piece of cloth that wraps around, and people jokingly refer to them as bedsheets. So there's a funny story one time when I went with my husband and my daughter into Penny's on Middle Abbey Street, and we were looking for bedding, and my husband was wearing his Hare Krishna tilak on his forehead, that clay marking, and we were in a hurry. We were trying to buy some bedding very quickly. It was for someone else and we wanted to go, and we couldn't find the bedding, and so he called over a young girl who worked there and said, can you tell me where the bed sheets are? And she just started to giggle. And we realised that because she recognised we were Hare Krishnas and we were asking for bed sheets, she thought we were either joking or the whole thing was hilarious. And she just started to laugh.
As a visitor to India myself, I have observed the array of dress and clay markings displayed by spiritual followers.
So we have two vertical marks about half an inch apart, just between the eyebrows, and go up to the the top of the hair there. And this is called Tilak. And you could say it's in Indian culture, you know, that's where the third eye would be, for example, or it's like a stamp where sometimes what school of thought you belong to, you can be determined by the mark on your forehead. Uh-huh. So those in different forms of Vaishnav traditions tend to have kind of vertical tilak. Lord Shiva traditions, those who worship Lord Shiva, would have horizontal tilak, horizontal marks on their forehead, like three lines. So as you could say, it's like an ID badge, just like someone has a school badge on their chest. So we have a badge on our forehead to show what school of thought we belong to. But the purpose is that we are, it's like God having God's foot on your head, in a sense. It's like saying that my body is a temple of God. It's a reminder for us. Shaven head, yes, some of us, either monks or those that are perhaps married men like myself, but are full-time members, if you like, or clergy, we shave our heads as a sign of combating vanity, a sign of simplicity, renunciation, and surrender. But we're different from the Buddhist traditions, because we believe in the soul, we believe in God, and we believe that our bodies are like God's temples. So the bit at the back, the little ponytail, back of the head there, just between the back of the neck and the top of the head, is it's called a sikha. And to some it represents like a flag, a temple flag. To others it represents the path by which the soul goes back to God as well. So in different reasons, it also keeps the back of the head warm. In India, you have to keep where the three points of the cranium join together. It's quite good to keep that protected. But moreover, it differentiates us from Buddhist-type traditions, which don't talk about God. They've got the neck beads. You see these? Made by a sacred wood called tulsi, or sandalwood. So we have our sacred beads, again, to remind ourselves of what we should be doing, but also protection, if you like.
And is that because you're a clergy, you wear those?
I think anyone who is initiated into our tradition, both gender, of course, would tend to have these. Or anyone who is sincere, wants to be reminded of their faith, would also have these neck beads. My sweet Lord,
my Lord. Devotees give their children spiritual names also.
My sister's children are called Mukundas, the eldest, then Pushpa Sara, full name, and Balaram, who we all call Bala, and then my daughter is Ekadashi.
Ekadashi was never pressured into following the Krishna tradition. However, she found her own way, and I met her at Bhaktivedanta Manor. How often do you come to the temple?
It varies. I like to come, usually the standard is once a week. They do a Sunday evening program. So Sundays are usually when people go to the manor. So I like to come then, but lately I've been working every Sunday. So it just varies. So right now I just try and get there for the festivals, or sometimes we'll just come here throughout the week for socialise or meet up. But once a week is what I like to do. But I do chant every day, usually for about half an hour, so to say. And then I read afterwards. So I usually probably spend about 45 minutes daily chanting and reading. I actually am involved in a few projects with Hare Krishna friends of mine. One of them is Kirtan London. So that's where we organise different Kirtan events around central London. Kirtan is, so the mantra I mentioned earlier, the Hare Krishna mantra, the way we chant it, this is the same thing, but you sing it. And it's done in a call and response style. So there's usually one person leading who will sing usually that mantra. Sometimes it's a different mantra. So they'll sing and you respond. So it's kind of like everyone's involved, play different instruments. And yeah, it's a different form of meditating. Rama, Hare, Hare.
Ekadashi had Catholic cousins on her dad's side of the family.
She's my age, so I used to stay at their house a lot. And when they went to church, if I was there, I'd sometimes go with them. When I went to the church for the first time, because I hadn't been explained anything or told what we were going to be doing, it seemed very formal and strict to me. That was just my first experience, because we went in, as far as I remember, you all sit in your benches in the aisles. And I remember this one in particular, there was a lot of kneeling and sitting and standing and kneeling. And I just remember constantly being nudged, saying, sit down, stand up, we're going to sing this now. And because I didn't have any understanding, I just thought it was totally bizarre. The thing I was used to with religion was coming to the temple on a Sunday, seeing all of your friends, spending the day there, very social. You get to, you know, jump around and dance in the kirtan and sing. It was like a whole day, and it was a very sociable, friendly atmosphere. Not that the church wasn't friendly, but it was just that was what our culture was. But I guess, you know, everyone's used to what they grew up with themselves. Everyone's used to their own culture.
Along with her friend Sita, Ekadashi joined a Krishna youth group and travelled to events and social gatherings in the UK and Europe.
So by the time I was 18, when I was choosing my university, I'd already gotten to know kind of most of the whole youth group from England through these trips. And Sita had already actually moved here, my friend. So I came over here for university, knowing that I already had a lot of friends here. And then after university, I stayed. So I've been here about 5 years now.
And where did you go to university?
At the University of Bedfordshire, which is in Newton, where I'm living.
And what did you study?
I studied fashion design. So I grew up into art. Fashion was something that I chose last minute, actually, because I ended up doing a piece of it while I was in school. And then I studied that at university. I did do an internship while I was studying. I did a 6-week internship for a designer called Mary Kachansu. Don't know if you've heard of her, in London. Quite a big designer. And I loved it. It's just, I think I realised during the internship that it wasn't something I was going to pursue, just from the amount of commitment and kind of, it's a very competitive industry and it's very full on. And all of the people that I was working for that were kind of successful and heads of the departments, that was kind of their whole life. They, you know, lived there. Some of them slept there sometimes. It was just, it was so full on. I remember thinking, I don't know if I could dedicate that much like passion into my career. But anyway, I started working at Stormfront, which is an Apple store, and I worked there for a year and a half. It was good. I've always had Apple products, so I found it easy and I knew about them and I was good at the sales. And then I got promoted to floor manager there while I was there, which is basically like assistant manager. So I got a lot of experience there and training. So it was great. I just didn't think it was where I wanted to stay kind of permanently. So I left there last April, so about 10 months ago. And started working with my mum in Ireland. So she has a catering business called Karuna's Kitchen. So then we together took over another catering business from a gentleman that retired, which was called Irish Muesli. So I started running that. So we kind of run both of them together. Been flying back and forth to Ireland. So I'm lucky that I live next to the airport. I fly back usually once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks.
We've been selling our vegetarian Hare Krishna food for about 20 years now in Temple Bar on Saturdays and in the People's Park in Dunleary on Sundays. And it's become very well established. Most of our customers aren't vegetarian necessarily, they just like the food. A lot of people will say to me, oh, I've had Hare Krishna food in other countries. Hare Krishna food's the best. They like the taste. And I've had a number of customers who'll spot my Govardhan Shila and say, and they'll say in their own words, without any prompting from me, oh, who is he? Not what's that or what's it. But they'll say, oh, who is he? He's beautiful.
And is it a he?
It is a he. This one's a he, but there are also female ones. This is a sacred stone that's come from a very sacred place in India. And you have to be given these stones by either a resident of that holy place or a priest. And because they're sacred stones, then it's explained in scriptures that Krishna will accept worship through those stones. So we decorate the stones with sacred clay from the Ganges, it's called tilak, and we offer flowers, things that look nice, things that smell nice, jewels. It's basically our offering to Krishna, but in this form.
You have a daily practice and your spirituality seems to permeate into your food that you cook, into the business that you do.
Yeah, I mean, some people in the past, I would have come across the description that these are high demand religions.
which would be off-putting to a lot of people from the outset. But it is a way of life because the ultimate goal, I suppose, for members of the Hare Krishna movement is to reach a certain state of consciousness and awareness that's there all the time. So it's like two parallel tracks. We have all of that material conditioning, we call it, that comes with our body and our minds. But at the same time, we're cultivating an understanding of who we are eternally, which is our spiritual identity. So our whole life and our daily activities are trying to balance those two things. So I think it's been very challenging for my mum that her only two children joined the Hare Krishna movement. And for her, that's created a sense of separation from us. But at the same time, we see her regularly. She's always been part of our lives. I think we have a close relationship. We don't always understand things in the same way. But at the same time, I think we have genuine, nice relationships. There's no big obstacles in our relationships with each other.
So we're very close. And again, it's just one of those things, like a lot of people I know who may not be family, who aren't devotees. It's just she understands, because both her daughters and all of her grandchildren are all, you know, Hare Krishnas. So all of her immediate family are all devotees. So she just understands it and respects it, but doesn't have anything to do with it herself. She would come and visit and stay at the house and we'd do things together. If we went to temple, she'd just wait for us at home.
Home for Sukhita and her three children is very close to the Krishna Island boat jetty, where she has built a holistic therapy centre hosting yoga, meditation and other events for the local community of all faiths. Karuna is only 5 minutes' drive away in the town of Derry Lynn. Ekadashi is living in Luton and her father, Gopagan, has moved further afield.
He's in India. He's been living in India for the last 2 years. We don't live together anymore. We're good friends. We stay in touch. We text each other nearly every week. But at a certain point when our daughter had grown up and gone off to university, we realised we just wanted separate things. He'd been wanting to move to India for a long time. And much as I love India, I don't see myself living there full time. I'm still attached to running my business, whereas that was never really his thing. And it was a natural thing. There was no animosity. We'd always been friends, and it just made sense to go that way.
The Hare Krishna movement have undergone a lot of changes too.
Yeah, I guess they would have been regarded as the hippie religion. And I think that association from the 60s stuck with the movement for a long time. I don't think it's maybe regarded as quite that way nowadays as the movement develops into other areas. Now we have a branch in Oxford University run by Shaunika Rishi. So the movement is starting to grow out in many different directions and adapt to the times.
The Methodist faith have also evolved, and leaders like the Reverend Harold Good have been very instrumental in bringing about change.
That we are all capable of being transformed and changed. Change of heart, that's the key to all of our conflicts in the world. Change of mind is important, but change of heart is fundamental.
Thank you to all the contributors and the boatmen. Ferries run and visitors are very welcome to Inishrath Island every Sunday and on main festival days. See krishnaisland.com. And back to Vedanta Manor in Watford also welcomes the general public. Information on krishnatemple.com. And if you are in Dublin and would like to taste Karuna's cooking, go along to Temple Bar Food Market on Saturdays or People's Park Dunleary on Sundays. This programme has been funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. And if you make the trip to Inishrath Island, you may be lucky enough to meet a young man called Keshto, the only child living on the island and a great tour guide when I visited in May 2019.
Every morning I look out of my window and think this is the right place to live because of all the chirping birds and atmosphere here on the island. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
A thank you to Karuna and Ekadashi Ryan, to Sukada Smith Repass, Radha Mohandas and Keshto, and the Hare Krishna communities at Bhakti, Vedanta Manor and Inishrath. Since the 1990s, the number of Hare Krishnas living on Inishrath has dwindled. A small community are presently fundraising to maintain the temple and open for retreats and events, including the Masters of Calm Festival. More at krishnaisland.com. Peace and Love in a Time of Trouble was edited by Heather MacLeod, produced and presented by Maggie Scully.